Ending.
Welcome in to another episode of Chiefs Focus Live. Today's a little different. We'll be doing a conglomerate of our Tuesday-Thursday show. So tonight, we'll give a brief final thoughts on the Vikings game, head over to the AFC West expansion, and then transition into our normal Thursday segments talking about the lowly Broncos. My name is Quentin Morse. We've got our producer, Thiz, running the show in the background. And now a guy who has a 15-game losing streak of falling asleep while watching TV. It's the old man himself, JP. How we doing tonight, buddy?
You know, I'm awake. That's all that matters. You know, I'm awake. I try to stay awake long enough for the show. It is.
Yeah.
It is.
You ate dinner 4 hours ago. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this 6 o'clock p.m. stuff, staying awake this late is just too much. how you doing?
Oh, man. Busy. Yeah. It's crazy between, you know, doing this and everything else. It's just.
I get it. Well, we got a jam-packed show for everybody tonight. So,
yeah, let's get started. Do you have any final thoughts on the Vikings game?
I kind of said it all at the end of the game, but I'll say just a little bit. The hate is great. It is what it is. We're not going to change the element of the human element in football. And there was just as many penalties missed for the Jets as there was for the Chiefs. Look, man, one guy said it perfectly on Twitter that was going back and forth with me. He said, not everybody can overcome like Mahomes. So a late penalty hurts every other team besides the Chiefs. Okay, well, why is that anyone's fault besides every other football team? I mean, you can't blame Patrick Mahomes because he's better, and you can't blame Andy Reid because he's better than, you know, everybody else in the league. So don't get upset if your guys make a mistake under pressure and cause a penalty. Don't be down a certain amount of points at halftime. Don't get upset about it if you can't take what the end result is, because everybody knows how Patrick Mahomes is. When you put him under pressure, he's 10 times better than he already is.
Yeah, the point that you brought up, you know, the reason why people seem to remember these late penalties is because the Chiefs are a good team that takes advantage of them. Exactly. Whereas, you know, bad teams don't take advantage of them. So there will be late penalties and, you know, a bad offense will end up punting on the drive anyway. So it doesn't matter that they were, quote unquote, gifted a free first down on a defensive hold. They ended up punting anyway. So it had, you know, no real impact on the final score. Kansas City takes advantage of them. So teams and fans specifically will, you know, moan and complain about them. And that's just the way it is. When you're a good team, it's a loser's mentality to complain about reffing, and we're the hated fan base now. Just embrace the hate, because this is how a lot of people thought of New England for years, that everything was gifted towards them. We're now that franchise in the AFC, so just embrace the hate.
Yeah, that's just the way it is.
My final thoughts on the Vikings game, just, you know, going back and looking at it, pass rush was an issue. I think Cousins had too much time. We'll see what that pass rush looks like against the Broncos. The Broncos don't have a great offensive line. So we'll see what the Chiefs defense does against the Broncos. We know Spags likes to pull out some crazy stuff. It'll be interesting to see what happens on a short week. And, you know, that'll be interesting. Generally speaking, short weeks, at least in my opinion, seem to benefit defenses because the offense doesn't have as much time to plan stuff out. So we'll see what Spagnuolo seems to pull out and come up with on a short week here. But I imagine we're going to see a lot more. We're going to continue to see some of those blitzes. Like I brought up, yes, Philip, embrace the hate. We'll see what the Spags is able to come up with. It's interesting to see McDuffie involved in a lot of those blitzes, those slot blitzes, corner blitzes. The Broncos don't have anyone anywhere near Justin Jefferson on the offensive side of the ball. So, you know, you don't need to go with some of these crazy you know, cornerback moves. You don't need someone to go man on man the entire game. So I think the defense is going to be more exciting in this Broncos game, but we'll get to that.
I agree. Getting to that, I want to bring up a stat. 3 for 28 on Justin Jefferson. And I can't think of the other wide receiver's name for the Vikings right now that had a few catches, but I believe he had a total of 56 yards.
Addison.
He had 56 yards.
Yeah, the rookie. I don't know his first name. He was one of those guys drafted in the first round. So
yeah, I think it's Jordan Addison or something.
Addison. But, yeah, there you go. We got this.
But anyway.
Professional.
Yeah, we know what we're doing. But anyway, look, man, you got to think about it. You got two really good – the best, arguably best wide receiver in football and a really good rookie that totaled less than 100 yards against our secondary. I am not complaining. If anybody wants to bitch, whine, and complain about the Vikings game, then go get a better team. Figure out what we're doing. Nobody else can. Really quick, I just want to make an honorable mention. If you watched last night's game, which I don't know if you did or didn't, I will say this. That was probably the worst in my 34 years of being around football. I don't know that I've ever seen two coaches have – it was the worst called game I've ever seen by both sides.
Yeah, let's just roll up into our AFC West expansion.
Let's do it.
As our next segment here.
Let's do it.
Man, isn't this what we thought the division was going to be? I know.
We did.
I know the Chargers are, you know, they had their bye week. So they're going to face the Cowboys coming up on Sunday. So we don't have a ton to say about them, but you know, they're where they are. I mean, I didn't have the Broncos being this bad, but nobody had them being good. But let's talk about the Raiders. Who would have thought Jimmy Garoppolo is still a bad quarterback? Who would have thunk it? He's not good. He leads the NFL interceptions with 7. Yeah. He had a horrible interception where, I mean, the guy, he had a wide, Davante Adams was wide open 40 yards down the field, and instead he throws it into, I swear, was triple coverage, and it gets picked off. And it's like, those are decisions that mediocre to bad quarterbacks make, and this is why you know, will never play in significant games outside of being on a superstar team, because that's what he was when he was at New England, when he was with the 49ers. He was surrounded by a ton of talent, especially on defense, and they were able to drag his ass to the Super Bowl. And when it mattered most, he wasn't able to make that game-winning throw. A lot of people forget that leading up the playoffs, leading up to that Super Bowl, he did not throw the football. I think he threw the ball 3 times in the NFC Championship game that year. Yeah. So, like, look, the Raiders are bad. They're going to fall apart at some point, which is crazy because they have some decent talent, right? Max Crosby is a really good pass rush, right? I mean, he's a beast. You've got Davante Adams, who is one of the top 5 wide receivers.
Like this, man, he's always open. He's always open.
I still believe that Josh Jacobs is a top running back in the NFL, despite the fact that he hasn't put up any significant yardage. So when you have players like that, a mediocre quarterback, you know, isn't going to drag you to the playoffs, but you can at least be competitive in some of these games. And the Raiders just keep getting blown out.
You know, last night was a game that I will say that they got lucky, very lucky, because of some very ignorant calls by Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, and Jordan Love playing horribly.
And Jordan Love did play horribly. Look, I swear that – I think it was an interception in the third quarter. He threw it, when I say directly to the Raiders defender, it was like he almost thought black was green, because it was a direct shot into his chest. There was not even a player a Green Bay player close. So I don't know what the hell he was doing, but it is what it is. The whole point is that they're two very bad coaches. They shouldn't be head coaches in this league, in any level in this league. I don't think they should even be college coaches. So they're very similar. I don't know if you noticed that last night. They're very similar in the way they call games, which is bad, but I mean the way they call them. But it's crazy to think that they both call games in similar manners. I mean, the Raiders could have, instead of going for it on fourth and one, you know, seven times and getting stuffed four or five of those seven times, they could have easily kicked a field goal twice and elected to go on fourth and one. They didn't. They were a interception, lucky interception away from losing that game. And if Matt LaFleur would have picked an RPO instead of Jordan going downfield into the end zone, which there was two wide open guys in the middle of the field, he could have got within field goal range and at least tied the game at that point. But he was trying to go for the gusto. I guess apparently he had something to do after the game and he didn't want to do overtime. I don't know what the situation was, but it was just fucking ignorant. It could have easily been a different ball game, especially as badly as both teams were playing, but the Raiders defense was playing pretty bad. Matt LaFleur is making huge mistakes. Josh McDaniels, if he's there another year, that's because Mark Davis is dumber than I actually already thought he was. That team will never be any better as long as Davis owns it. It's that simple. It's never going to get any better. It's been dog shit since he took over, and it's going to stay dog shit. Sorry if I'm a little too blunt for any Raiders fans out there, but your team sucks. Your owner sucks. It is what it is. He's too concerned with the WNBA team that he owns. And Brady did absolutely nothing to help that team out. And he's not going to do anything. So, moving on. One other game I wanted to mention was the Pittsburgh Steelers game. That, to me, was a good football game to watch. It was a hard-fought game for Pittsburgh. Thought for sure they were going to lose it. I didn't think they had that game at all. And somehow, some way, they pulled it off. With
good coaching, man.
Good coaching and a bad quarterback. Right, I'm sorry, but right now, they got a bad quarterback.
Pickett?
He's not playing well.
No.
He's making horrible decisions. His passes are errant. But to beat the Ravens, I think, gives them a leg up and gives them a little bit more momentum moving into the season. Mike Tomlin he has yet to have a losing season in his 15 years with the Steelers. And it looks like he's not going to have one now. So I just thought it was a very entertaining game. And to watch the Steelers defense just dismantle the offense of the Ravens was great to see. Lamar Jackson wasn't nearly as mobile. He kind of reverted back to his old ways of not playing well and making bad decisions and passes. It was just it was entertaining, out to say the least. But I wanted to bring that up because the Steelers fought back and they got a great defense. So
I do have them making the playoffs. So we'll see what happens.
Hey, and by the way, Joe Burrow won a game.
Good. He needs to hot take alert. The Bengals need to keep winning some games here. Cannot have the Bengals going out and drafting like Marvin Harrison Jr. Okay. Yeah. Every Chiefs fan should be hoping and praying the Bengals go like 7-9.
Yeah.
That should be the hope every Chiefs fan. I swear, if they go out and they're able to draft like Marvin Harrison Jr., and then I got to deal with 4 years of Jamar Chase on one side and Marvin Harrison Jr. on the other side, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to lose it.
Yeah, I know.
So
I know.
They need to win like 9 games, and just be in like that average middle of the pack. I can live with that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. I mean, look, you got Carolina that's 0-5. You know, you got the Raiders and the Broncos that are both trailing ass. I have a feeling with the Raiders because of how shady, Josh McDaniels is, and Mark Davis for that matter. I don't think personally they're going to go and win a bunch of games this year for a reason. I do believe they want to move on from Garoppolo. And if they have an, hey, Will, what's up, buddy? If they have an opportunity to go out and get like a Caleb Williams, they're going to do it. They're absolutely going to do it. And some dumbass team out there will take over Garoppolo's contract. It's happened three times now. So it is what it is. Garoppolo's too busy making love to a stripper and not really paying attention to the game of football. Kind of is what it is. Moving on. What's our next topic?
Yeah. Let's transition into Broncos Chiefs game coming up on Thursday. This is the first like normal Thursday night game, right? Because the first one doesn't really count because you're at the start of the season. So, let's transition into the injury report. Good news for Kansas City, right? There are only three players that were limited in practice. George Karlaftis with a hamstring, Nick Bolton with his ankle, and Travis Kelce with his ankle. Kelce's the one that a lot of people are paying attention to for obvious reasons. He did not practice on Monday but was limited today. So, you know, I'm hoping that
they didn't have practice Monday though, right? Didn't they just do walkthroughs?
Well, there's still some guys that were also like Nick Bolton was limited.
Yeah.
George Karlaftis was limited, but you know, nobody was left out of practice, and that's the important part, right? Is that nobody was left out. If you're Kansas City, you have a real chance to just keep crushing the Broncos. Right. You Absolutely. Don't give them a chance because they have been awful this year.
Yes.
They are last in points allowed per game and yards allowed per game. They are 31 of 32 in yards gained on offense. They are 30th in the league in offensive points per game. They have a minus 60. Point differential on the year. Now I know
five games. By the way, five games.
It helps when a team drops, 70 on you. But I mean, they have just been a bad football team. It's not all on Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's actually looked better in some games. A lot of it has to do with that defense. That defense has been bad. I mean, really, really bad. When you're last in both points and yards, it's horrible. To think that, they kept a lot of those same pieces they had last year and you just changed the coach. I mean,
but he was going to turn the whole franchise around.
Yeah.
It was all Hackett's fault.
Just for reference. So there's for margin of victory for the whole season last year in 2022, the Broncos average a minus 4.2 points for margin of victory. This year they're at minus 12 already.
Yeah.
So the Broncos defense a double is just atrocious.
That's just Hershey's quarters right there.
Yeah. I there's not a lot to like look away from. They can't go after the quarterback. There's nobody on that defensive front that worries me.
They traded away their best weapons, Quentin. I mean, you get rid of Bradley Chubb, you get rid of all these guys, and you expect their defense to be better. And you don't replace them with anybody. I mean,
is the only good weapon on the defense? But it's like, okay, if your only good weapon is, Patrick Surtain's a good corner. There are better corners out in the league, but Patrick Surtain is a top 10 corner in the NFL. But if your only weapon is a top corner. Look at the Jets defense when they had Darrell Revis. Okay. Yeah. All I have to do is not throw to where he is. Guess what? I've got four other receivers I can throw the ball to. So all I have to do is avoid him and your defense doesn't stand a chance. Great. Tony
here's
the
my
Tiger.
Thing with,
Great.
Here's my thing with Russell Wilson. I don't know that he's had a couple of moments, but he is not playing well. As a matter of fact, he took off in this last game with the ball. I don't know what the hell he was thinking. He was moving like a turtle and got the ball snagged from him. It was automatically a fumble recovery. I think it was for a touchdown. He is not playing well. He's throwing errant passes. He's he threw one that was so, I mean, he had a wide open guy in the end zone and he threw it, I don't know, 22 feet above his head and directly to a fan's hands. So he's not doing well. He is not, look, man, I have said this over and over and over again. He is not, and he's never been what everybody thought he is. He was fast and he was strong 10 years ago, 12 years ago. He's not that anymore. He's slow. He's doesn't seem interested. He got paid. And in my opinion, he got paid way too much. And I feel like he doesn't give a shit. And that's how he plays the game. There's times that he looks like he wants to play. There's times that he looks like he cares. The only time that is when he actually makes a play.
Yeah,
he's over there high-fiving guys and woohoo, look at me. But then when he gets his ass handed to him, he's not doing that shit anymore.
He had a lot of his percentages. Now, you know, you can't compare all of the stats from this year to last year. He had some of his percentages are up for this year, like his completion percentage, right? Last, he ended the season last year with 60.5 for completion percentage. Now he's up to 66.9. He has 11 touchdowns already. Last year he ended it with 16. So his touchdown ratio has doubled. He has half of the interception touchdown ratio that he had last year. His QBR is through the roof compared to last year. So, you know, he has been a better quarterback. The problem is that the rest of the team around him has just been worse, that it doesn't really matter that he's been an improved quarterback from last year because the rest of the team is just so bad.
I agree, but in the same aspect, if you're bound to be a little bit better than you were last year because you learned something from this, from what your mistakes. But he's still nowhere near the quarterback that he was.
Oh, absolutely not. Oh, I'm on board with that. Yeah. He's not the quarterback that he was, you know, Legion of Boom era or anything like that. But
no,
I don't.
And he wasn't even the quarterback then, though, is what I'm trying to say, Quentin. He lived off of a phenomenal defense and a phenomenal running back and a fucking great offensive line.
Here's the shtick about Russell Wilson.
This is funny.
If you look at his heat chart, which is a conglomerate of a graph that shows where he throws the football. He throws a ton to the outside receivers. That is where he throws the ball. His peak throwing spots on the field are on the outside hashes at about 8 to 12 yards on the outside, right? Russell Wilson never threw the ball over the middle a ton. Where are we in the NFL today?
Yeah.
Throwing the ball over the middle of the field because you can't come and take the head off a receiver anymore, right? You can't really touch receivers when they're coming off the ball. You can only jam them within the first couple of yards. And, you know, hand fighting has been limited, okay? Like all of these sort of things. Big linebackers don't spend a ton of time in that area anymore because they're either blitzing or, you know, they're dropping even further back in coverage, especially with this deep cover too. I hate to get into like some of this really deep stuff. Some people might find it boring, but
no, it's true though.
My point is that Russell Wilson is not, and has not taken advantage of what is becoming
the new NFL
parts. Yeah. One of the more important parts of the NFL in the passing game. And he never took advantage of it. And he still isn't, right?
That's a fact right there too. He said that's where our safeties can work for real. And he's right.
Yeah. It's just crazy that you have a quarterback that never took advantage of it. So then where was he successful? Big shots down the field. Yeah. You know, that's how you can take advantage of it. If you aren't going to take advantage of some of those, I don't want to call them checkdowns, but the medium sort of routes, right? If you aren't going to take RPOs, advantage of those short, and be an effective, efficient offense, I can make up for that when I'm getting 40-yard bombs a couple times down the field to move the ball down the field. So when you lose that, or when your offense no longer has the players to be able to do that.
Correct.
And I cannot get, you know, when it's 3rd and 7, I can't get 8 yards. Then you're going to see some serious deficiencies in your offense. On top of that, there's no Marshawn Lynch on this offense. There is no running back that can help get you in to those, you know, second and fours to make third down easier when you throw an incomplete pass. Absolutely. So you've sort of taken away some of the things that made Russell Wilson great. And finally, to, you know, just the cherry on top for Russell Wilson is that he is not, he's lost a step. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
He's in his 30s now. He's just not as athletic. It happens to everybody. That's the way life is. So you've taken that step away from him, and all of it just builds up to where he's not as good of a quarterback as he used to be when he was in Seattle. So all of this has built up to where he's not as good as a quarterback. However, all of that being said, he's not as bad as he was last year. And I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be a Russell Wilson defender that much. I just think it shows just how god awful that defense is.
Yeah.
Because it's, I mean, not all on Russell Wilson this year.
I agree with that. I'll give you that. It's not all on him this year. But he has to be able to – look, man, we've seen bad defenses in the past. I mean, you could go back to Kurt Warner. He had one of the worst defenses ever and won a Super Bowl because he scored 50 points a game and he made very smart decisions. The Chiefs, 27th ranked defense, won a Super Bowl. It's you have to be able to overcome some of that stuff if you want to be great in this league, especially now. Kurt Warner was one of those guys that did it very early on in the air attack system. But that's part of being a good quarterback. And he's only Russell Wilson's only 33. It's not like he's 38 or 39. He's 33 years old, maybe 34 now. It's not like he's an ancient old man playing in a position that guys that played until they were 45, okay? I mean, Aaron Rodgers is 38, 39. He's just not – he's lost a step, and I'll say this because you're right. He had two components to his quarterback abilities. He either threw the ball 40 yards downfield when he had a wide-open wide receiver, or it was a fake. You know, they basically faked out a defense, and he ran the ball continually. He ran the ball all the time, similar to like a Lamar Jackson, who is now injured all the time because of the way he runs the ball. He can't do that anymore. Now it's kind of showing his true colors because he only has a couple of, I guess, weapons in his arsenal, and those two weapons are being exploited every time he steps out on the field.
I mean, the only offensive weapons that they have that anybody, you know, thinks is any threat is Jerry Jeudy, right? Like, that's the only,
yeah, that's it,
because he has speed, but he's never shown it. You know, there's nobody on that offense that I'm like, man, you gotta, it's this guy, right?
Yeah.
Even the Bears, you know, have the running ability of Justin Fields, but they also have DJ Moore, who is a really good wide receiver, who is a guy that you can't give space to. The Broncos don't have any of that.
No,
I am not worried about this Broncos at all. I mean, we've got this graphic up here that this put up. The Broncos are the worst team in the AFC.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the numbers for their defense are just, like I said, they are the last in points per game, last in yards per game. They give up the most rushing yards per game at 187. They give up the most yards per carry at almost 6 yards a clip.
6 yards a clip. And that's with not great running backs. I'm not going to say bad running backs, but not great running backs.
They average 124.6 QBR for opposing quarterbacks.
It's fucking insane.
They have 12 sacks on the year, which is 21st in the NFL. So, I mean, it's like any statistic you look at, they are just bad. And all of this being said, the Chiefs offense needs to come out and they need to be ready to go, because I cannot go another, you know, I don't want this to be a game that
like
the Chiefs just come out and struggle. Because if the Chiefs offense comes out and struggles, then I'm going to be worried about, my hand might be moving towards that panic button a little bit faster.
Yeah, I agree. And it is a divisional game. We always play a little bit. Now, the good thing that we have going for us is the fact that really Sean Payton doesn't know us.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's been a coach that's coached, you know, with that team for 4 or 5 years and understands us, because he doesn't.
Yeah, he's not like when Vic Fangio was here or was in Denver. Like, that was a guy that it didn't matter who was on that defense. Vic Fangio knew how to play the Chiefs, and those were tight games. Even though we won all of them, it was, you know, they were tough.
And I want to make a correction really quick, and before I forget, when it comes to Travis Kelce's injury, it was not a high ankle sprain. It's actually a low ankle sprain.
Yeah, it's been compared to a basketball player.
Correct. There was people out there that said it was a high ankle sprain. It's not. It's a low ankle sprain. It's actually not a horrible situation. I would not be surprised if he plays Thursday.
I imagine.
I'm not going to say he is, but right now, from what I've kind of heard, he probably will play. So, in some capacity. It may not be every snap. He may be on a snap count. I really don't know, but I feel like he's going to show up because he doesn't want to miss any more games, and he already has. That one game just set him over the edge, and he's just not that guy. So, anyway, moving on. I agree with everything you said. I said this before. I'll say it again. Sean Payton originally turned that job down because of Russell Wilson. A lot of that was given his diva mentality. All that was taken away from him. Every bit of that was taken away from him. Sean Payton said, I'll come. I'll be the coach. But you got to take away his personal chef. You got to take away his personal masseuse. You got to take away his office. You got to take away his parking spots inside. You got to take away everything that he has, his beds, his all of the stuff that he brought in there. And he just has to be a regular football player like everyone else. That's what happened. Everything got taken away. But it's not helped the team in any aspect. And I will say this again, and I will say this till the end of the season. You're going to see a lot of teams, and it may not be Andy Reid, because Andy Reid is not that type of guy, but you're going to see a lot of head coaches go after Sean Payton. And if they're going to run the score up on him, they will absolutely do it. He did it when he was with New Orleans, and with that comment about Nathaniel Hackett, he pissed every coach in this league off. And he's just the type of guy that just doesn't do it. But you never know. Andy may just decide to put up 50 on him. I don't know. When it comes to a divisional game, they may decide to do it. You just don't know yet. If they've got the opportunity, they may. But just understand that every other coach besides Andy that's so damn level-headed, it's to a fault to a degree, is going to run points up on him. It's just going to happen. So they just might as well be prepared for it. Frank Clark wants out. I want to bring that up really quick. He doesn't want to be there. He wants to be gone. They lied to him, which I said, if you guys want to go back and listen to the shows prior, they told him he was going to be in 90% of the snaps. He's been in between, I think, around 28%. He's not, all of his incentives are already thrown out the window. He's not going to make any of those incentives. Not going to happen. He wants to be gone. I don't blame him. By week 8, he probably will be gone. So I'm not going to say whether he's coming back to the Chiefs or not, because I don't know that yet. But if he does, it's not going to hurt my feelings. If he doesn't, it's not going to hurt my feelings. I like Frank. I like him as a person. We were lucky enough to interview him. He's a very nice guy. But in the same aspect, he wants to be out. He's tired of it. That team is dysfunctional. And it's going to stay dysfunctional. John Elway ruined that football team.
Oh, God. Couldn't happen really to a better franchise.
Exactly. He absolutely ruined that football team. This said pass. I would, look, man, if I had my choice between Frank Clark and Carlos Dunlap right now, I would absolutely take Carlos Dunlap. I would. He's faster. He's got more skill. And he's 4 years, five and a half years older than Frank. But he's in a much better condition. And I'm not going to down Frank because of his stomach, because that's a lifelong issue that he's never going to be able to get away from. That's an illness, and I've said this on the show for 2 years. That's something that he can't fix. You can't fix the problem that he has. But in the same aspect, Carlos is a better player.
To me, it just comes down to draft assets. Carlos Dunlap is a free agent. Frank Clark is not. So
he might get cut, though. He might get cut before week 8. If he doesn't want to be there – Sean Payton's not the kind of guy that will keep somebody just because. He'll say, fuck you, get on.
Well, then we can have a different conversation then. But to me, it's simply about the draft assets. Why would I give up draft assets for a player that,
I just gave $7.5 million to?
Yeah, for a player that I can get relatively the same, possibly even more production out for a guy that's, sitting at home. That's
the only difference between the two is that one is not going to be in football shape. And the other one is.
Yeah, we'll see. I think I would still take the risk on a guy, especially because I don't need you to be a starter.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the most beloved segment at all of Chiefs Focus podcasts.
This is the most beloved segment in all of YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. Believe it or not. I think the first one I want to start off with is Russell Wilson and the passing offense. Russell Wilson has gone over 200 yards passing once, and he had 197 one other time. So, believe it or not, Russell Wilson goes over 200 yards passing yards.
No, not against this secondary. Hell no. Hell to the no. If he couldn't do it against any other secondary, this secondary will eat him up. No way it's happening.
He did it to the Bears.
Again, if he can't do it against their I'm just saying, our secondary is too damn good. It's way too good. Not going to happen.
Look,
Thiz says no too.
Look, I just wanted to I don't think so. 200 yards in this NFL is really not a lot, but like I said earlier, who scares you on this offense? I mean, really?
Nobody.
Can anybody tell me the name of any player, any offensive player on the Broncos right now, not named Jerry Jeudy? I mean, seriously, I pay a close attention to the NFL, and yeah, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I don't know any other names.
They got nobody.
Yeah.
They got.
And they said we had nobodies last year. I mean, people knew the guys we had on our team.
Yeah. They are not a good football team. They are literally the worst team in the AFC.
They are.
If it weren't for the Tank Bowl between the Bears and the Panthers, they would be the worst team in the NFL. They arguably are the worst team in the NFL because the other two have young quarterbacks and a future. You got Russell Wilson, who
lives in the past.
Crap. Yeah. So, all right, I'm happy we both agree there.
Yeah.
The next one I want to move back to the Chiefs offense. This one I just needed to shout out Kadarius Toney. Kadarius Toney goes for 75 yards and a touchdown. I need Kadarius Toney to figure his crap out. Okay, he needs to be more involved in this offense. So I hope so. But I don't think so.
I have a feeling, given that defense and that secondary, I think he might get 75 yards. Will he get a touchdown? I think he's going to get the bulk of them on one play. I'm going to have to say yes. I feel like he's going to. He's gotten better and better each week. And, I know his toe's been a little fucked up, but I have a feeling against this defense. I don't know. His brain seems to be okay. He's got some big-ass eyeballs. I have a feeling he's going to. I just have a feeling he will. I'm just going to say yes.
I hope so. Look, I think I said this 2 weeks ago. Kansas City is more dependent on Kadarius Toney than I think I gave credit to him.
Yeah.
Oh, what's up, Reset?
What's up, man?
I think I thought he was going to be a cherry on top, and I think he is more of a foundational piece. The Chiefs are competing for a Super Bowl, and the other teams around the NFL and the AFC have more than one receiving option, elite level receiving option. If you look at the Eagles, if you look at the 49ers, if you look at hell, even the Bills right now seem to have found another receiving option. Kansas City just hasn't found that guy yet. And maybe it's Rice. And, if that's the case, then good. But I think it needs to be Toney. And if he's healthy and on the field, he needs to be producing. And it just hasn't been there yet. And we need it to be. What a better team to go up against, right, than going against the Broncos 2 out of the next 3 weeks to sort of get right. Because after that, we've got the Dolphins, a bye week, and then the Eagles. So,
And by the way, I want to bring something up when we're done with this. Go ahead. I'm going to talk about the Eagles a little bit.
After we face the Broncos again here in a couple weeks, that's when your schedule really starts. It's hard after that. We've got the Eagles and Bills, and maybe Joe Burrow's calf feels better later in the year. We got to figure it out. And Tony needs to be one of those guys. Maybe he doesn't need to be, you know, that guy, right? The number one receiver that I thought he could be, but he's got to get on the field and he's going to have to start producing and being able to lean on, because nobody, and I mean nobody outside of Travis Kelce, is getting any sort of separation in man coverage. And teams are not going to play zone against you all day if they realize that nobody in this offense can separate from decent coverage corners.
Okay. I agree with you. Now, am I going to say that all of our wide receivers are having problems? I'm not, because they're not. Do I see some obvious things that need to be addressed and maybe a little bit more gelling? Absolutely. Everybody sees it. You'd have to be stupid not to see it. I'm not going to say they're stupid. I'm not going to say they're not, they don't understand, because they do. This is a very complex offense that, unless you understand the game of football, you wouldn't understand why these players are having the struggles that they're having. You're playing, number one, you're playing with a very complex quarterback, a very unorthodox quarterback, for the first time, most of these guys. And you're also playing in a very complex system with Andy Reid. And you do have Matt Nagy back, which has changed things up a little bit as well. So am I panicking? Hell no, I'm not. Because I know this football team. I know how Patrick Mahomes operates, and he will coach these guys up. They wouldn't have brought these guys in if they were bums. They wouldn't have not had a quote-unquote veteran wide receiver, or kept one, or brought somebody in that knew the system, if they didn't have trust in these guys to learn the system. Are they having trust issues right now? Absolutely they are. Will it go away? Absolutely it will. I think Tony is just going to continue to get better, and he's going to show out. And when he does, a lot of people are going to eat their words. I think, you know, somebody asked me the other day, why did we pay so much for MVS? MVS did exactly what he was brought in to do last year. And actually, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have made the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So everybody needs to get off his back as well. He is a deep threat decoy. That's what he's designed to do. And that's what he does. Justin Watson is old, faithful. I'm sorry. I love that kid. I'm so happy we brought him back. He's actually won games for us. And I don't think people realize that, but during this 5-game stretch, he's a reason why we won a couple of them, just because of the phenomenal catches that he has made. It's going to happen, Russ. Don't worry about it. It will happen. Got to remember who our coach is and who our quarterback is. But Justin Watson is just phenomenal. In fact, I put a post up on Twitter about it with the video. That catch that he made, honestly, there's not very many guys that can reach over the top of someone, snag a ball and pull it backwards, you know, over the defender's head and drop down and keep and hold on to the ball. And he did. That acrobatic catch that he made on the sidelines that was almost both toes down was phenomenal. People don't give him – he's the most underrated wide receiver, I think, in football. Justin Watson, hot take, he's the most underrated wide receiver in football right now. He's
one of the only other guys that seems to be able to get separated. But even his separation is inconsistent.
It is. And I think a lot of it has to do with who he's going up against.
He's not going up against the top guys. Look, my problem isn't zone coverage. Kansas City can figure out in zone coverage. Figuring out in zone coverage goes to a lot of scheme. And you've got that figured out, right? You got Andy Reid.
It's man coverage that they have the problem with.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the problem. Yeah. If these, you know, top defenses, right? If Kansas City were to face any of the top defenses in the NFL right now, I don't think they win. Because I don't trust these wide receivers to get any sort of separation. If on Thursday we were facing the 49ers, the Cowboys, the Eagles, you know, I don't think that they get any real separation, because those teams can put up offensive points as well as can really be there to cover your wide receivers. yeah, that we beat the Jets who had a top defense, but that's because they have Zach Wilson playing quarterback, so there was no real threat of them coming out and putting up a ton of points. Some of these other top defenses in the NFL, I do have real worries about whether or not this offensive group can get separation man coverage. Now, it's still early in the season. Am I Debbie Downer here in the next few weeks or post-bye week? Maybe not. You know, I still think that there's plenty of time for this team to get better and for these wide receivers to get better. I still believe Sky Moore has way more potential than what he's shown. Okay. I'm not riding down the negativity train, but I'm trying to be honest in what I'm seeing. And it's not great. So I'm just putting that out there.
Reset, I understand when Urban Meyer said that, but how well did he do in the NFL? I mean, we really got to think about that. You can say that shit all day long when you're a college coach and do well in college. But when you step into the NFL and you take a very good quarterback and make him look like one of the worst quarterbacks that's ever played the game, and why the fuck did anybody ever draft him, and then want to quit halfway through the season? You know, he's right. But again, in a very simplistic offense, that's true all day long. You have to really understand Andy Reid's playbook. And I look, man, I talk to a guy every day. I talk to him today for an hour. He's hoping to be brought back to the Chiefs. He's seen Andy Reid's playbook. He said, man, I've never seen anything like that. And his name is Boo Boo Smith. And he flat out said, I've never seen a playbook like that. He said that's very difficult to learn. And it is. Everybody I've ever talked to, it's a fucking Stephen King novel. And you have to understand it. And it takes time for some of these guys. I mean, look at Cornell Powell. Where's he at right now? Oh, wait, I think he's on the practice squad. That's his fourth year on the practice squad. So it just takes time for – he didn't make it in the NFL. There's a reason why there's coaches that are very good in college but not great in the NFL. There's only been a couple that have brought themselves over from college and did well. Only a couple. Pete Carroll was one of them. I mean, it just is what it is. It's a very tough transition for a head coach. It's a lot easier to go to the college from the NFL, but it's not so easy to go the other way around.
Let's get to our final, believe it or not.
Let's do it.
Chiefs get 450 total offensive yards. For reference, they got 456 yards against the Bears.
Yes. I believe they go over 500. Hot take.
Damn.
I'm going to say they go over 500 yards. What are you saying?
Well, I mean, I'm not riding a 500 train, but we'll get to my score prediction here in a minute. But I do think that they go over 450 yards. And I think a lot of it, or at least a good chunk of it, is going to come from the running game.
I think this is
another Isaiah Pacheco game. I think they end up running the ball quite a bit. And I think we see Clyde get the ball a lot. And I even think Clyde gets his fair share of yardage too, because, like I said, this defense is bad. And I think Clyde's going to get in the third quarter, fourth quarter, Clyde's going to get a ton of carries. So, and he's going to get a good
amount of yardage. What happens if he's inactive in that game? What are you going to think?
What am I about him? Or
if Clyde is inactive in this game coming up on Thursday, if they deem him inactive, I'm just putting it out there.
I don't know what I would. I guess I would think that. I don't know why they would have him as a healthy scratch in a game like this, because you have a good feeling you're going to be.
The only reason you have him in a healthy scratch is if you've got a trade partner.
Yeah. I just don't see that happening.
We'll see. It may not happen this week, but don't expect him. I have a feeling that he's going to be gone by week 8. Just saying. Anyway, Jeremy Maclin. He was one of the best to ever do it, though. I mean, he was a rookie that came out very strong. There's only been two wide receivers in the history of Andy – actually, yeah, two wide receivers in the history of Andy Reid that came out as a rookie season and had a great season, two. And Jeremy Maclin was one of them.
And DeSean Jackson, and both of those guys were drafted during the rebuilding years in Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
So it's not great.
Yeah.
I think score predictions, and that'll be the show.
Yeah, I agree.
I'll go first today. I got 34-10 Kansas City. I don't see this offense. I don't see their offense being able to do anything, and I don't see their defense really being able to stop the Chiefs from doing anything. The Broncos are bad. That's what we should have named the show. We should have just named the show The Broncos Are Bad. Well, maybe we'll do that in 2 weeks. That'll be the name of the show. Just The Broncos Are Bad, and, you know,
their fans are sad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was going to go 36-9 because I feel like it's three field goals for the Broncos. I feel like there's a game other than the one that we've already had that there's three field goals, no touchdowns. I feel like the Broncos are that team this week. I want to stick with that score prediction, but I'm going to say 36-9. I don't see them scoring an offensive touchdown. Unless it's trash at the end of the game, I just don't see it happening. Phillips got 31-13 Broncos. Mahomes throws for 237, three touchdowns. Sky Moore sets it up. I think Mahomes is going to go for more than 237 in this game. I hope he does, but we'll just have to see. They are using Pacheco a lot. One thing I will say is that I think this might be the game that we see a little bit more McKinnon.
I do think the backup running backs are going to be used more in this game because I think Kansas City, you'll get up to a decent lead and they're going to run the ball a ton.
This got 30-10 Chiefs.
Okay.
39. He says 30-9. Okay. So you switch at 30-9. What do you got, Will? I know you're out there still. Tell me what you got. We got Will and we got Scott. Let's get their predictions real quick.
That's all I have. The Broncos are bad. So
yeah, they
suck. My final thoughts.
They're not good. Sean Payton has made his mistakes, and he's going to have to live with them for the rest of the season.
I think a lot of people would have put Sean Payton in the Hall of Fame.
Not after this, though.
Yeah, maybe his career is like Russell Wilson. You know,
yeah.
A lot of people had him going in the Hall of Fame, but if he keeps coaching like this, I think there's a chance that Sean Payton coaches himself out of the Hall of Fame like Russell Wilson is playing himself out.
Absolutely. I couldn't say any more. I mean, you're absolutely right. And you know what? A lot of people would have put Josh McDaniels in the Hall of Fame just because of Tom Brady. But both times he's been a head coach, he's got 35-14 Chiefs. Scott does. Both times he's been a head coach, he has been shit. I mean, he's just been terrible. This said Sean Payton was propped by – absolutely he was. Look, man, I've said this numerous times, and people always said I was crazy. Sean Payton is very, very good with a very, very intelligent, good quarterback. He did not want to coach with a rookie. He had three or four different opportunities to go different places and coach with younger quarterbacks. He's not good with younger quarterbacks. The only reason he went back to the Broncos is because Russell Wilson had a glimpse of a career prior to being with the Broncos, and he felt like he was better than everybody else, and he could make Nathaniel Hackett look bad. He didn't. He's actually making Nathaniel Hackett look very good. He's making him look very good is what he's doing. So it is what it is. Who playing on the edge or the inside? Who's he talking about? I don't know who he's talking about.
If it's any Chiefs player, the answer is yes, because everybody moves around.
Yeah,
One last thing. This will be the final. Let's see. This is week 5.
Yes.
So we'll have Omenihu back for the next Broncos game.
Yes, we will. He comes back week 7.
So.
Oh, he's asking about Charles. He's going to play the edge.
Yes.
He's going to switch, but yes, it's going to be both.
It'll be like Chris Jones, where probably a lot on the edge, and he'll play some on the inside.
Yes, they're going to flip-flop him around. And I think when he comes back and they do that with both of those guys, holy shit, our defense is going to be so much better than it already is.
Yeah.
Look, Russ, I'll tell you now, everything starts at the front line. Everything starts in war, in football. It's your front line. And if your front line doing their job, your linebackers and your secondary can stay on their assignments, And we know from past history with the Chiefs, when your defensive line breaks down, your linebackers jump off their assignments, then your secondary jumps off their assignments, and that's when you have a 27th ranked defense. We don't have that right now. We are, right now, I think we're ranked 6th overall in the NFL. I'm not going to complain about that. That's the best defense we've had since probably before that. I don't know if we were ever ranked 6th with Eric Berry.
I mean, there were some good years during the Bob Sutton era before everybody figured
out. They had two. But, I mean, if you go back and you look at the defense as a whole, the only thing we're missing on this defense right now that made the 90s defense as good as it was
is an elite edge rusher.
Elite edge rusher and Derek Thomas. That's what we're missing right now. If we have that, oh, God, we're dangerous. We're dangerous. Yeah. We got the best secondary in football. Nobody can say we don't.
I think that's the show, though.
Yeah, so, I think that's it.
Thanks, everybody, for watching. You know, make sure you smash that like button and subscribe.
Subscribe and this shit.
We'll check it out. See you guys after the game on Thursday.
Look up in the corner.